Welcome to the Scouts and I podcast with me, Michael.
And me, Becky.
And welcome back to the Scouts and I podcast. It's a very exciting podcast today, isn't it, Becky?
It's Christmas.
It is Christmas very, very soon. Santa is nearly here.
He's on his way, big man in red. We're very excited.
We are very excited.
And we've got an even more exciting guest today, Michael.
We do indeed. It is our chief executive, Jonathan. Hello, Jonathan.
Hi, Michael. Good to be with you.
Good to have you here.
Great. So I'm going to kick off first. Normally we do like a would you rather or some type of get to know you. But because it's Christmas, we decided to theme our podcast. So we're going to still talk scouting with Jonathan, but we're going to throw in some Christmas activities just to lighten the mood. So the first thing we're going to do is talk about top Christmas songs. So Michael has provided a list for us and I'll read them for you. So we have Elton John, Step Into Christmas.
What a banger.
East 17, Stay Another Day.
What a banger.
Wham, Last Christmas.
What a banger.
Slade, Merry Christmas Everybody.
I'm not fussing that one.
Not such a banger, Michael.
No, not at all.
The Pogues, Fairy Tale of New York.
Oh.
Chris Rea, Ray, whichever he goes, Driving Home for Christmas.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Bing Crosby, White Christmas. Wizard, I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. And Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas. And Michael, Jonathan and I have listed them from the best number one to the worst number 10. So just at the start, now we're just going to go through our 10 to 6s. So play along at home with us. And you'll obviously not have written them down because I went so fast. But I will start with my top 10 to 6.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, and you can jump in if you disagree or agree.
Okay.
My number 10, the worst song on the sheet by a country mile, is Bing Crosby, White Christmas.
Yep, same. My number 10.
Okay. My number 9 is Band-Aid. Do They Know It's Christmas? Controversial. That's many people's number 1. My number 8 is Chris Rea, Driving Home for Christmas. My number 7 is Elton John, Step Into Christmas. And 6, very controversial, is Wizard, Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day.
Ooh. Wait, Jonathan, I'm interested to hear yours, because mine, some of mine are very controversial.
Well, I'm going to plead that I have only seen this much later than you guys, so don't judge. So in 10th, I have Chris Rea, Driving Home for Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah. 9, I have Elton John, Step Into Christmas. 8, Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. 7, East 17, Stay Another Day.
Oh, good song.
That's like one of the best Christmas songs. Have you just went down the list? 10, 6, 9, 8, 7, 6.
And number 6, Slade, Merry Christmas Everybody. I'm just tired of it.
Yeah, that's fair.
I actually had to Google what I thought Slade was Wizard and Wizard was Slade.
They're quite similar and boring, I find.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah, so my 10 is Bing Crosby, White Christmas. Again, a bit boring, I find, and depressing. I want to listen to it. My number 9.
Although I wouldn't say no to a White Christmas, an actual White Christmas.
Well, I would. I like to watch it from outside, but I don't want to go outside in it. It's cold.
You don't go outside on Christmas Day.
Well, I do go outside at some point on Christmas Day. Okay. I don't sit inside the whole day.
I do.
I'm a taxi on Christmas Day, pretty much.
And eat.
But yeah.
Carry on, 9.
9 is Merry Xmas Everybody by Slade. Number 8 is Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Hate the song. Hate it. I just don't like it.
Oh.
Number 7. Is Band-Aid, Do You Know It's Christmas? Again, it's not bad, but it would be my top one out there. Number 6 is Wizard, I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. Did I miss any out? No? Yes,
no.
That was my top, that was my
bottom.
That's your
10 to 6. And actually, we've all, there's one or two that none of us have put in our top 10, our bottom 5.
Let's hope.
And we'll come back and revisit that after.
We will indeed. So, Jonathan, this one's for you, I suppose it's also for Vicky as well, which is both being new in the past, I suppose. Vicky started in June time, wasn't it? June?
Yep.
June, John started last November, but by the time we kind of, you know, everything got settled in again, we were off for Christmas. So what I want to just find out from the both of you is, you know, how have you both settled in your role in scouting in a different job? I know you both worked for uniformed organisations in the past, but how did that kind of, you know, how you settled in? Did you do anything specific to settle in, I suppose? You can fight over who gets the answer first.
I'll let Jonathan go first.
Okay, well, I suppose as I reflect on my first 12, maybe 14 months, I suppose I've settled in really well from my own perspective. It was a bit of a weird time to change positions with the pandemic going on around us and, you know, no face-to-face scouting as I took up post. But I've received a really warm welcome, and it's great to see a really strong team pulling together at Northern Ireland level, and that has been part of my really strong induction to date. So it has been really good. Coming from within the youth sector, I suppose I had the head start on maybe somebody that didn't understand that youth sector landscape. So that bit's been easy. I suppose I have missed out on a lot of the face-to-face meetings, events, activities, the things where I would have benefited hugely as I settled in, but hopefully that's what next year will bring even more of.
Let's hope so. That's great to hear.
I think for me, so I started obviously a bit later. I started in June and actually pretty much almost July, and I think some face-to-face stuff was happening at that point. And a lot of the stuff that, so like my first day, for example, I got to meet Team NI. But I think, wasn't that also your first time to meet Team NI in person, face-to-face as well?
My first time meeting Team NI, NI in person.
So actually, while I started a bit later, I feel that I've settled easily because I've got to meet people. But yeah, kind of similar to Jonathan, just everybody's been so friendly. And I think because I've came from uniformed groups in the past and was a youth worker as well, I kind of understand a lot of it, obviously not in relation to scouts, but easier to pick up when you've been there and done that somewhere
else. You're learning, yes. Like how to make Vicky a scout.
Yeah.
Going that well yet, is it?
No, so yeah, if you didn't listen to any of the previous podcasts, on the first podcast there was a challenge put out to help make me and Jonathan a scout.
Jonathan doesn't know this, I don't think, does he?
Jonathan looks puzzled, so I don't think he does.
No.
I'm choosing not to.
I still haven't made any campfires. I still have a tent that I purchased years ago and haven't put up.
The red tent.
The
famous red tent.
But I did help with, is it an altar fire?
Yes.
Yes, I knew the word, so I helped with that at Crawfordsburn, so I'm getting there.
That's one small thing. You know, one small step.
One small step for man.
That's the thing.
A giant
leap for mankind. For scout kind, we'll go with that. So, I want to find out, was the past year has been a bit difficult for us, you know, always the first 3 months of the year, working from home again, and, you know, kind of getting back into what scouting's actually like. Well, I suppose what's been, for all of us, I suppose, to try and think about this, what our highlights have been for the year. So, one highlight, be a bit hard for you, Vicky, as well, starting halfway through the year. But I know what my highlight would be.
So,
I am a scout leader, as some of you may know. I think my big highlight was, it's going to sound really bad, not bad but weird. We were on Zoom for most of the start of the year, and I knew a lot of the leaders said, you know, we couldn't get our young people to get on Zoom to do anything like that. We had about 20 or so every Friday night from our scouts, always on Zoom, taking part, if we were doing a badge, doing a game, and we're there without fail, and we eventually got back into meeting in person again. We had about 30 of them down, and we had to split them into groups.
That's
to actually be in the right numbers, because we're like, we can only have 15 here at once. We have to be in two separate groups, there's too many.
And did you gain then over the pandemic?
We gained maybe 7 young people.
That's amazing.
All girls, pretty much. I think one of the big highlights was, I think because we hadn't met since last February, because we had decided to stop a week earlier because one of our scouts was getting married. And we were like, you know, we're not going to be on that Friday night because he's getting married on Saturday. We'll probably try and do something with him. And then we're like, please come back. And then COVID. And then it was, you know, the following year. So I think that was a big highlight for me, was actually seeing our young people still wanting to be involved in scouting with having had nothing for a year, pretty much. I know it's nothing to do with my job, but it was just a big highlight for me, and knowing some other groups struggled quite a bit with that.
Well, that's great.
But yeah.
Yeah. And what about you, Jonathan?
So for me, it's the merger of the squirrels, now recognised as part of scouting, but also an opportunity to say thank you to the NISA team, the Northern Ireland Squirrel Association, who have pioneered this work over the last probably 25, 30 years, maybe longer in some cases. And to see them welcomed into the scouting family has been special. It was a long road, a bumpy road, but to get to the other side, get everything over the line, and to celebrate at Crawfordsburn back in October was a special moment, a momentous
I remember being in squirrels growing up, and I'm 26 hours in squirrels growing up. That shows how long it's been here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. a credit to the team that have taken that work forward.
Definitely.
Very much so. Vicky, yourself, a highlight. Might be a bit hard for you to think of one with only being here half a year, but I'm excited.
Yeah, so I think a highlight for me, I've a few different ones, but I think mainly would be getting to meet people, build relationships with people, within Team NI especially, and recently have been able to put together a strategy that everybody is buying into, that everyone is excited about, that will hopefully bring Scouts out of the pandemic a lot stronger than we went into it.
Fantastic, that's great to hear. That's really good. So I suppose something I'll think about as well is, you know, come up to Christmas, we all have our own traditions. As a child, now, for those who might be a bit older, growing up with families, what sort of tradition is for, again, all of us, what tradition would you have at home? I know there's one for me in particular, but I'll let someone else go first this time.
So our tradition growing up was we always had Chinese on Christmas Eve. And it was always the exact same thing. And actually growing up, it was the only time we ever had Chinese.
Seriously?
It was Christmas Eve.
Wow.
Yeah. Like if we had a takeaway, it was just chippy. I'm of an older generation, Michael, that, you know, Chinese wasn't that big when I was growing up. But we always had Chinese growing up on Christmas Eve to save my mummy cooking. But now, older, we go to my sister's house on Christmas Eve. And she hosts almost like a little family party. And her husband is Nigerian, and he makes us Nigerian food.
Wow.
Every Christmas Eve. So we have jollof rice and chicken or turkey leg drumstick things. And he makes that every year, and we have that. And then, obviously, then Christmas is normal. But that's the big tradition we have in our family, is that we have Nigerian food on Christmas Eve.
I don't think I can top that. Jonathan, can you top that?
No, not probably not. No. In our case, I suppose it starts and finishes with birthdays, Christmas, because okay. Yesterday was my son's 14th birthday, and that stretches through taking in my dad on the 20th of December, myself on the 29th. But importantly, because it becomes a family tradition, family gathering, my brother was born on Christmas Day.
Okay.
So I am just about 5 years older than him, and I can remember back to that day he was born, where mum and dad, granny and granda, myself, my sister, all having Christmas dinner together, and mum having to race out of the house to the hospital at lunchtime. We were having our Christmas pudding. We all reminisce.
So has she finished her dinner by that point? She had eaten.
She'd certainly eaten some of her main course. I don't think she was there long enough to eat Christmas pudding. My brother was born by tea time. So wow. It was a very exciting day. And I suppose that gives us the excuse to gather on Christmas night when nobody wants to eat anything more, but we still have to eat birthday cake together.
I'd rather
so you
have
get
that.
Birthday cake and Christmas cake?
All in the one day.
I don't like Christmas cake, so I'd be like, birthday cake, give it to me.
And does your brother get separate presents? Birthday and Christmas? Or is it just kind of like, here you go, here's one present?
I'm sure there have been occasions when he did, but having my own birthday 4 days after Christmas, I've definitely felt shortchanged over the years.
That's understandable. I know it's one of my friends, his birthday is on the 24th as well. I'm like, I don't know if I want my birthday to be so close to Christmas, because
all the good days of the year, all one on top of the other.
Literally. Yeah.
What about you, Michael? Have you a tradition?
Chinese and Christmas Eve, always. Well, Chinese every Saturday in our house, but you know, Chinese
if we're on
Eve.
Food, what do you do for breakfast on Christmas Day?
Ooh, usually like a croissant or something with bacon. And
a croissant and bacon, oh. Very fancy.
These Belfast for you?
Yeah, it's croissants and Nutella
really?
In our house.
Oh, no. Oh. Well, it depends just who's up. It's sometimes
freshly cooked ones, and I not bought ones. Freshly cooked.
So does Corey get up, Corey's Jolin's wife, by the way, does she get up and make croissants from scratch?
Yes, but I think she might cheat and buy it sort of the pre-made dough or whatever. Oh, okay.
So, that's still impressive.
Yeah. We buy ours from like Tesco, like, but usually like Tesco Finest or M&S Finest, like whatever their like finest is, just M&S.
We always had the chocolate orange that was in your stocking, very healthy. And then we always fought over the bacon on top of the turkey because my mum cooked the turkey overnight.
See,
so crispy bacon, but just didn't put it in it, just add it.
We always had to eat before like opening presents because my sister, when she still lived at home, used to rock it down like 10:30 in the morning. So you'd be waiting for her to come down, but you didn't want to wake her up.
No, so Christmas presents point, first, then food.
Like, Well, it was very much a, I want to eat, I'm hungry, I'm starving, and we let you wait for her to come down, and that's when we got to eat, because, or actually go open presents, because you couldn't start without her, but she wasn't down to actually let you start. That was the issue.
Kept
but
you waiting.
Yeah, Chinese.
Okay.
Chinese.
Chinese right. Must be quite a common tradition for Christmas Eve dinners.
Something
then.
It's easy, I think.
So Christmas aside, back to scouting. What are we all looking forward to most next year? If there was one thing we could pick, what one thing would you highlight that you think you'd be looking forward to? We'll start this time with Jonathan.
For me, it's normality. I don't know what normal's going to look like, so I'm not going to second guess that one. But for me, it's about getting all groups, or at least as many groups, back to meeting face to face, delivering a good, thorough scout program that attracts people of all interests and abilities, mm-hmm. and just giving young people the opportunity to develop their skills for life.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably what I'm. Well, I suppose one thing I'm most looking forward to is getting to meet more people, because at the minute, you know, with people, most people are meeting face to face, but some of them are within restrictions, so they've enough people in the hall as they're allowed to have, or certain meetings are happening over Zoom to save people. So I think one thing for me is looking forward to being able to just go out and meet people and see people and not have to worry about, am I that one person that pushes their percentage over the edge, or and just getting to see more people.
Fair enough. I think for me, I'm excited to go camping. It's been weird not having 2 years much of no camping at all. I know we could have done it in August. We camped with our scouts there in August. And you could have, you know, camp, but single occupancy, who really knows? I just never was a big fan of single occupancy tents at all, especially being by yourself in a tent. I was like, no, I don't really like this. So, I'm excited to go back camping and actually just go somewhere, whereas that's, you know, Crawford's Barn, Arden Valley.
Hopefully you get the weather.
It's Northern Ireland, so probably not.
Well, you never know. You might get good weather in the summer.
Probably not. It's Northern Ireland. So, again, one of the favourite things at Christmas every year is pulling a cracker. So this is something that Jonathan really wanted to do. He was like, when we first said to him about being on the podcast, like, okay, perfect, I've got my jokes ready. So we've each time got a few of our favourite Christmas cracker jokes. A few that were definitely found on Google. I'm not going to lie about that. But who would like to go first? Give us a few each.
Well, I'll start simply because I don't quite remember it like that, Michael. But I've scribbled a few thanks to the help of Mr. Google.
Yep.
So where do Santa's reindeer stop for coffee?
Don't know.
No.
Starbucks.
Oh, flip's sake.
I don't get it.
Star.
Oh, like a star. I thought it was going to be related to reindeer.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Starbucks. I don't get it.
Okay, well, here's one that you should both get. So, it's not a, you don't have to ask me, you know, I don't know what is that. Okay, so it's just like a one-liner. The only Christmas present that I got this year was a deck of sticky playing cards. I find that very hard to deal with.
Oh, dear.
Okay, I appreciate, yeah, okay.
That's so much better than Jonathan's joke.
Oof, okay, well, I'll pop them both in. What's yellow and dangerous?
I don't know.
Shark infested custard.
Is that Christmas related?
Yeah, because you have custard and Christmas pudding. Well, I won't eat Christmas pudding, but, you know, custard. I thought it was funny. I'd have custard or Christmas.
Okay, one more go each.
Flip, okay.
And if you're listening at home and you have a far better joke,
you probably will.
Email us and tell us. Or put it on social media with hashtag ScoutsNIPodcast.
Yes, Jonathan.
Okay, pressure's on. What's every elf's favourite type of music?
Don't know.
Not sure.
Rap!
Oh, flip sick.
Oh. Like wrapping paper?
Thank goodness Vicky's here to explain them to us in case you didn't get it. I think she's explaining them to herself more than anything.
At least I got that one. I've got a really funny one. So, again, it doesn't require a I don't know answer. It's one-liner. Last Christmas, I bought my friend a lie detector as a gift.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it, she said. We'll see, I said.
Okay, yeah, I like that one. Appreciated that one. Okay. Okay, yeah, this will be interesting to see how this one goes. So, how does Darth Vader enjoy his Christmas turkey?
I don't know.
On the dark side. I'm a big Star Wars fan, so I really appreciated that one. I was like, yes, a Star Wars joke. I'll take that. I love me some Star Wars.
Okay, so back to some scouting conversation then, or not, as the case may actually be with this question. So, Jonathan, we ask all our guests this question. So obviously you have big involvement in scouts and that takes up a lot of your time, but what do you like to do when you're not scouting or in work? What are your hobbies? Or it might not even be a hobby, but what do you like to fill your time with?
I guess it's family and then some things for me. So family wise, we're quite a busy house. Josh in particular has lots of sporting things, so it tend to be run around after him, particularly
taxi
with
driving.
The football. Yeah, taxi driving. And I mean, it's great and good camaraderie with the other parents and, you know, lots of fun along the way. So really can't complain, and he enjoys it and is doing well. So that's all great. Personally, try to cycle most days, mostly indoors, but trying to do 30, 40K most days. And that can be a challenge when things are operating at full tilt. And
sure.
Days start at 8 or 9 in the morning and meetings go on late into the evening. But cycle most days and walk as often as possible. We've just got a second dog in the house. Little Autumn is just about 14, 15 weeks old. So it's like having another toddler in the house at the moment.
So she's outside now, is she?
She's allowed outside. Loves her walks, but just trying to hold back so we don't do any damage to her while she's still growing.
That's fair.
I love puppies.
Me too. But we all love a dog.
Okay, so so moving on from there, we're going to go back to the Christmas songs.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to go with our top five.
Well, we'll do it. We'll do five each, and then four each, and then three each, and then two each.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
I want to see if they're similar or not.
Okay, well, then do you want to coordinate,
so
Michael?
I'll go me, Vicky, Jonathan. We'll all do number five, so on and so on.
Okay.
So my number five is Elton John, Step Into Christmas.
Oh, you put that quite high. I'm Slade.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Okay.
Wham! Last Christmas.
I love that song.
I'm in shock. Okay. Don't know what to say to that, but okay. My number four is East 17, Stay Another Day.
My four is Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas.
Oh, far too high.
Oh no, it's great.
I have gone nostalgic. Bing Crosby, White Christmas.
Oh, so you put yours quite high. We both went for 10.
It shows us the wee thing about it though. My number three was Chris Ray, whatever you'd call it, Driving Home for Christmas. I think it's a great song.
My three, and I put that quite low. Actually, my third is Wham, Last Christmas. Love it.
Nostalgia again. Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas? I remember it, you see. That's the difference. You two probably don't.
No, when did it come out?
It was 84.
Yeah, 84. I was born in 95, so no. I was nowhere near it.
Well, I was born in 85, so I was alive for the awful remake with Jason Donovan.
Oh,
I think it was 1989, 1990. I remember that one, but...
I don't know if I'll have to look that one up, I will. Okay, that number three, was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
My number two... Wham, Last Christmas. I love Wham, so it had to be up towards the top for me.
I'm really hoping, and I think we've all went for the same number one, but my second is A17, Stay Another Day. It's such a great song.
My number two is Wizard.
Okay.
I wish it could be Christmas every day. It seems to have been on in the car constantly.
Yeah, that's
for
one
days
thing.
Now.
As much as I like Christmas, you turn on the radio and it's just
the same two songs.
Oh, and that's what annoys me about Christmas sometimes. There's never any new songs that come out.
I'm slightly gutted there's no Shakin' Stevens on this list, mind you.
Sorry. There is a good few shout-outs, to be fair, like before we go to our number one. If anyone has Amazon Music, George Ezra released a new Christmas song. It's
unreal.
There's
been quite a few new ones this year.
You've got Michael Bublé coming out of the key of every Christmas when he brings out his Christmas album, which again, top tier man.
Ed Nelton.
He's an A-star man, Michael Bublé, I will say that. But our number ones... My number one is The Pogues and Kirsty MacColl, Fairy Tale of New York.
My number one is The Pogues and The Fairy Tale of New York.
Jonathan, what's your number one?
I think you've copied my homework. It's The Pogues with Fairy Tale of New York.
It is the best Christmas song. And I'll be surprised if anyone listening disagrees with us.
Yeah.
Very surprised.
It's one of those songs that you say Christmas and everyone will go The Pogues. Fairy Tale of New York, but hopefully they might not do, but if they do, good on them.
Such a good song.
Oh, I know.
Okay, so just before we finish, Jonathan, is there anything that you would like to add to what we've talked about today?
Hey, just really to share a little thing I read early in 2021 that sort of stuck with me, and it was based on something that JFK said when he was running for election in, I think it was 1960. So way before my time, Michael, just to be clear.
I didn't say anything, you said it.
He used the word crisis and the two Chinese characters that make it up. And traditionally, they have been seen as danger and opportunity, although some people dispute that and think it's danger and change point. And just as I reflect on another year wrecked in so many ways by the pandemic, lots of plans, well made, but not able to be delivered. We've faced up to the dangers of the pandemic, but in terms of looking ahead, I just want to encourage you to take opportunities to reach even more young people and to give them opportunities to thrive, to learn, to develop, so that they can leave eventually the movement, should they not stay on as leaders, but whether in the leadership or leaving the movement, with lots of skills that'll carry them through life.
Yeah.
I think that's a great way to finish off our final podcast for 2021.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming to chat to us, Jonathan. It's been good fun. We've had lots of festive banter and talked about some things scouting. So we will be back in the new year.
Merry Christmas and have a happy new year.
Happy Christmas, everyone.